Amsterdam, he was there for Shabbos. He was in a wedding that Rav Berland made a wedding of.
I asked Ariel, please, to say a few words to share with us from the wonders of Rav Berland.
It was asked by Mori Ravi, Taberi Tov, my very good friend, Rav Kasuto, to talk to you about my trip. And I thought that I don't have what to say, but when I started to go over it, I understood that I have what to say, so I decided to come and talk to you. And so the first thing to know is that the tzaddik is everything that concerns to him is shows you faith and shows you how everything is just mishamayim, and everything concerns to him is only depends in the amount of tefillot that were involved in it. So the story begins maybe a month ago. I have a very good friend that I used to learn chavruta with him at least once or twice a week. We were learning full nights together. And since Rosh Hashanah disappeared, I didn't know where he is. And about a month ago, he called me and he told me, "I'm in Amsterdam, I'm with a Rav there, I'm here." So I was very happy for him, and immediately I told him, "Okay, so give him our names, me and my wife, my family, my children. Give him our names so he can bless us, and if he thinks about and we need to give a pidyon or whatever, just tell me." And so one day he called me. One night he called me, and he told me, "Here I am with the Rav. Here, talk to him." So he gave me a rabbi, and I'm saying, "Hello, Then he's shooting, he's talking, he's all the time, he's talking to Hashem. He's just talking. He told me, "We live here." He said it in Hebrew, of course. We live here in unbelievable conditions. It's in a matter of mesirut nefesh. We have to." Then he told me an amount of something to pidyon, and Then he told me, "Don't go to." It was 2 a.m. I woke up from this call. He told me, "Don't go to sleep. Call me in an hour. Tell me that you got the everything." And okay, I couldn't go to sleep anyway. But I was really shocked, really, because it sounded like he's talking only about the money. And I said, "Well, what? It's all about money. What is?" I really got confused, and my wife really helped me with this confusion, of course. And so I called him an hour later, and I didn't have the time to say anything. He told me, "Okay, call this and that, this person, give him the money." And I was about to tell him that I don't have the money yet. I don't know what's happening with me at all. So I was starting to look for this money to arrange it. I understood that I'm not going to do what Arav told me to talk to this person because I don't have the money. It took about 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I called my friend again and I told him, "Give me a phone number so I get the Arav, and I'll tell him I got the money, and now I know." Okay, so I talked to Arav again. He gave me the Arav again. I told him, "Arav, I have the money. I have this." So immediately he told me, "You have this and that person in Jerusalem. Go to him. You can give it to him. He's coming to me." everything, and then he started talking about, he gave me all the schedule of the flights to Holland. Come to me, you can fly on Thursday morning, come go back in the Sunday. It's flaming all the time, it's just a flame of fire all the time. So again, I didn't know what he's talking about, but I told him that my friend, I didn't tell you, was supposed to get married. Arav made a shidduch there in Amsterdam, made the shidduch, and he was supposed to get married in Motzei Asara Betevet, last Thursday. So I told him, Arav, maybe I can, I want to come to the wedding, bless me that I arranged, that it be arranged and I can come. Told me, of course, there you fly on 6 a.m., you get here at 10 a.m., he knows everything about flights, about... and he told me, you're so sweet, I miss you, come to me, I want to see you. Okay, so since then, I didn't know, I didn't have a penny, anything to and my wife tell me, if you get this money, we need this money, you're not flying, we're not talking about it, nothing. So I told her, if someone will give me the money for the ticket, tell me, no, we need this money. But if he's not giving me the money, he's giving it for the ticket. So you know what, if you arrange all the money for the ticket, you can have it. So immediately I called the traveling agent, I told him, what's the cheapest flight you can arrange? He told me the price. Okay, it's from Thursday morning to arrive to Amsterdam at noon, in the middle of the fast. Fast is it, so? Okay. And immediately in Motzei Shabbat, midnight, fly back. It's 2.5 days in Amsterdam. Okay, so... but I don't have the money. I told him, okay, give me 2 days. If not, I'll cancel it. He said, okay. It took 2 hours, and I had all the money. I talked to one friend, he gave me about $350 immediately. And I told another friend that the miracle that I already $350, he gave me the rest. And I just had the ticket in 2 hours. Because I'm blessed. He said, come to me, I miss you. Yeah. Okay, so I had the ticket. But I couldn't go just like that. I came to Arav Shalom. I told him, Arav, Shluchei Mitzvah Inom Nizokim, if you're sent to do a mitzvah, you will not be damaged, harmed. So I want to be your shaliach. I want give me a message, give me something. He told me, tell Arav, I miss him so much, I love him so much, tell him, try to arrange a call so we talk together. Okay, so I felt comfortable, now I can go, I'm a messenger of Arav. And okay, I was playing here in the beginning of Asara Betevet, the Ilul Avrav Natan, and then immediately I went to the airport from here. I flew through Turkey. It was I almost missed the connection. It was like last call, because it was, and Baruch Hashem, I arrived to Holland. They're telling me the moment that I arrived, Arav got into hospital. He was fainted 3 times. Why? Because it was a fast. Okay, so was everybody fast? No, he's fasting for already a week. And every time his people, they tell me, every time Arabanit gives him food, when she goes out, he's telling the person that next to him, if it's Shamash or someone that arrived, he's telling me, all of your tikkun is dependent if you eat this food or not. Then you must eat it. Rabbanit comes back, Shishti, oh, Rabbanit is fasting for, yeah, and he's 78, I think, or 79, he's fasting for a week. So he fainted 3 times, and they took him to the hospital. They tell his condition is so bad, he can't he's so weak, he can't do anything. On Friday morning, they עשו לו ניתוח, הכניסו לו קוצב לב.
סטנט.
קוצב לב. סטנט?
סטנט.
סטנט. אוקיי. So, this is how I arrived there. So when I mean for only 2.5 days, when can I see him? And I also came to play in, I am a musician, I came to play in the wedding of my friend to make him happy and everything. What about the wedding? Okay, so I'm going back to Thursday when I arrived, I went to hospital. What about my friend? He needs to in the can be motzei atzom, the end of the fast, he needs to get married. He's talking to the kala, and they decided, no, if Arav is not doing it, we're waiting for Arav. Whenever he is able, he will make the wedding. Then someone calls him, look, you have no, and all his family came from Israel. And it was a disaster, a total disaster, because they're telling Arav, he can't tell him, do this Mesirut Nefesh for me. So he's telling, they called him and he said, okay, take this and that, man, he will make the Chatuna, the Chupa. And so his family, his parents, his brother, his brothers, his sister, everybody, okay, get married, we're here, we came, we stopped all our lives, we did everything, we came here to Holland and you're not getting married. What was that? And they were so angry. They told him, forget, his brother said, erase my phone number, I don't want to know you anymore. I don't. Then his mother told him, whenever you do it, Mazal Tov, I don't want to talk to you again. His parents, just forget about it. It's finished. Everything is finished. You want a Arab? Be alone with a Arab. We're going back to Israel. Forget about it. And again, so you see, you can notice the level of Arav according to his students. Because my friend, he was shocked and he was thrilled, kilo more emotionally, but he knew that he's doing the right thing. He didn't doubt at all. He knew that this is a. It's not a. You can change, replace Arav. It's the tzaddik. I want this man to make my chupa. So they waited all and they don't care at all about his condition. They pray on him and everything, but as far as the reality, they don't care about his. They know that he can raise up and come and make the chupa, or they can come to the hospital with one. We thought we will go to the hospital to make this chupa. So Friday night, Friday morning, he started fasting because maybe he's chatan today. Maybe today, Arav. Okay, so we're waiting. They're telling no, Arav is going through a surgery. Okay, we'll wake up from the surgery and go. He knows that Arav is able to everything, and again, so Shabbat started. And all the Shabbat we're waiting, what will be in Motzei Shabbat? Maybe Motzei Shabbat, and we're hoping, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I came here, no wedding, and no Arab, for me, it's 2.5 days in Motzei Shabbat, midnight, I'm leaving. So, Motzei Shabbat, I told the amazing family, Segal family, that we hosted at place, I told this woman, look, this Chatan, I told her what his family is told him, like it's all over, and they're flying back on Sunday. I told her, maybe you can try to talk to people that close to Arav, maybe something will happen before they go. I want to see him. I never saw him in my with my eyes, but my friend, what about him? What's So she heard it, she said, wow, how could it be? They're so angry, they can't understand. Wow. So she called Arav, and Arav, they just said that he came out of hospital. In the middle of Shabbat, they threw him away from the hospital. and that is also crazy. and they told the Rav, and the Rabbanit immediately, no way, he needs to rest, he needs to... Okay, they talked to people, then they called, said, okay, be ready in 30 minutes, a Rav will arrive to this to your house, call the Kala, we're making the wedding, in 30 minutes, then the wedding. They started calling everything, the Kala, parents, everyone. And the Chatan parents, no, we're not coming. It's over. It's too late. It's over. Everybody's trying to talk to them. No, it's over. Also, the Kala calling them, no, we don't care. The parents of the Kala called them, said, oh, we're going to be family now. Do it for us. What? At the end, they accepted. Then they came. Okay, so everybody came, and we're waiting for a Rav. Now I'm on about to. It's crazy. Just you don't know what to do with yourself. And then, since the moment a Rav just came into the house, and he went out after 40 minutes. In a moment, I'll tell you what happened in this 40 minutes, but. All these 40 minutes, it feels like just like a dream. It's not everything is reality, but this was a dream. It's not a regular person, but this person is. He lives in a level that is out of our conscience at all, and it feels like just being in the same room, the same area with him, is just a dream. And. So he arrived. He's not looking anywhere. He's looking all over the place. He's not there at all. He sits at the table, starting writing the ketubah, and then he's starting. Okay, call the chatan. In a second, it's after the wedding, and he's not there with us. Okay, mazal tov, shaking head. He finishes the chuppah, he's not saying goodbye at all. He turns around and he goes out. And in a moment he's not there at all. It's like it never happened. And everybody wants to dance, wants to cry, and he's not there already. He's doing his thing all the time, only with Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, what I achieved is that he was sitting in the car, a Rabbanit was in one seat, he was in the middle, and his Shamash was in the other side. And the father of the Chatan came to tell Rav, to the Rabab, that you did it already. He changed so much, he came to say thank you and everything, and Mazal Tov, Baruch Hashem. So they opened the door for him, and so I dared to push my head inside, and I asked Rav for a blessing. So immediately he started. He sent his hand as he started to pet my cheek, and he wanted. I felt like he's okay. So let's talk. Let's learn something together. And this is why I need such a shmirah,
protection.
And this is why his wife is. Such a frightening bodyguard, totally frightening. Because when he started petting my cheek, and in a second I saw her face here. Yeah, it was three places, and she is far, and she's chutzpah, how dare you! And then the car goes away, and everybody around me tell me, oh, shrecha, zachita. Blessing from Arav and insulting from the Rabbanit, Ashrecha, all the package. So Baruch Hashem, this is how it
works.
I want to bless you all, but I don't want to bless you in crazy lives like we have. I want you to have a normal life, quiet life, peaceful life. I don't know. David HaMelech, he didn't have one quiet day in his life. One quiet day in his life he didn't have. When you understand that it's all from Hashem, and that you cannot understand why Hashem is doing everything that He's doing with you, but you see that it's all for the good. So it gives you the power to sacrifice yourself again. And when Hashem Yitbarach is demanding from a person to sacrifice, so you have two options: or to sacrifice like Cain, or to sacrifice like Hevel. All that you're going to sacrifice from the best quality of what that you have to sacrifice, like Avraham Avinu, that you're ready to sacrifice your child, your future, your promise, your life, your eyes, your soul, everything. All that you're going to do it without a will. You're just going to bring the chaff of what that you own, of what that you have. Why Rachel Imenu, she's got the merit that until today she's standing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to her cry, to her tears. Rachel Mevaka, she's crying, Me'ana Li Nachem. She's saying to Hashem Yitbarach, I'm not going to stop on crying, I will continue to cry and to scream. And Hashem is saying to her, don't worry, I listen to your prayer. Your prayer is going to be the prayer that is going to be answered, finally. Why? Because she gave everything for her sister. Everything. She didn't care about her future. She knew, now she's giving up on Yaakov, this is it, she's going to marry Esav. She knew. Because that she sacrificed everything and she didn't care about her life, she didn't care about her future, she didn't care about her children, about nothing. Not about her love, not about her husband, not about nothing. This is why she became to be so important. Only when Abraham sacrificed Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Ata yadati ki yireh Elokim ata. Only now. He sacrificed himself 10 times before. So many tests he had in his life. He left his family, he left his father, he left his country, he went to a place. He suffered from poverty, from hunger. They kidnapped his wife. He was suffering a lot. He'd been thrown to the flames of fire in Ur Kasdim. In all of those tests, still Hashem didn't know that he was really Resh HaMayim. Why just now? Because then, in that moment when he gave Yitzchak, he gave everything. Everything. For a person that all of his life wanted to have a child. And when he's 100 years old, he's got a child, and now he needs to take that child and to sacrifice him. What that person have in his life? And he's doing it with a smile on his face. A smile in his heart. He feels complete. He's solid in his decision. He doesn't think, doesn't question on Hashem Yitbarach at all. This is the moment that Hashem Yitbarach is saying on a person, Ata yadati, now I know. Now I know, ki yireh Elokim ata. You're afraid of me, that I count for you. And those tests, that Torah Adam, is for every person in every moment of his life. Every moment. And they told you, a friend of us from the yeshiva talked to one of his friends, a Litvish friend, and told him, I don't know what to do, I have issues with Shalom Bayit and Parnasa, apartments and this and that. He told him, you can solve it in a moment.
You just need to leave the yeshiva and stop being a breastlover, and you're going to live a normal life. This is it. You're going to have a normal life. Your wife going to listen to you. She's going to stop rebuking you. Your panasa going to be okay. Your parents going to support you. Everything going to go back to order. When you choose to commit yourself to life of Avodat Hashem, so you serve Hashem. And then whatever Hashem tells you to sacrifice, this is what that you need to sacrifice. You're not choosing. You're not thinking, like in the story of Cain of Hevel, I'm going to bring from this, I'm going to bring from that. You're not thinking. It's not the time to think like Cain. I'll give 100 shekels for tzedakah. If Hashem asks for money, you need to put all of your money. If Hashem wants to learn Torah, you need to put all of your time on Limud Torah. If Hashem wants you to do tshuva, you not start in 10 minutes tshuva a day. If Hashem, if you see Hashem wants you to do tshuva, you give everything. You do tshuva. If you see that Hashem wants you to put on Am Yisrael, you're not doing 10 minutes a day on Am Yisrael. You give your soul to Am Yisrael. If you see that Hashem Yitbarach wants you to have faith, so you believe in Hashem no matter what. How can we explain an amazing story like that on Rav Berland? How can we explain that you see that that person, he is with Hashem Yitbarach in that moment. Whatever Hashem wants, he's there. Now there is a person, there is a student, he's with him. Oh, there is a wedding, he's marrying them. No problem. Now he needs to go, I'm going. No problem. Hashem, what do you want? What do you want from me? This is what that I'm going to do. And whatever gun you're going to put in front of my eyes, I'm going to do that. No matter what it's going to be. Hashem Yitbarach is sending David HaMelech. The David HaMelech is a man of peace. He's not a man of war. He's sending him to fight. He's sending him for battles, to fight, to kill the Amalekites, and to fight with more enemies, and against Goliath. David HaMelech, someone told me that he was, I didn't see it. Someone told me that he was 17 years old when he fought with Goliath. With a giant, you're 17 years old kid. You don't know what to do with your life. You don't know nothing. He was a shepherd until today. Just know how to play the violin, the flute. This is what that he knows. When he was supposed to fight, what he done? He took stones from the river. He's going with 5 stones. He doesn't know to fight. He's not a warrior. Shaul HaMelech put the armor on him. He couldn't walk with it. It doesn't fit. He's not a warrior. He was skinny. He was thin. He cannot fight. But when Hashem commands you to fight, you need to fight. When Hashem wants you to stand up, you need to stand up. When Hashem wants you to pray, you need to pray. When Hashem wants you to do tshuva, that you're going to admit on the truth, that you're going to make deep investigations inside of yourself until you're going to uproot all of the doubts that you have on Hashem, all of the questions that you have on Hashem. Hashem wants you to commit yourself to Him, to make aliyah, to come to live in Eretz Israel. You need to sacrifice. You need to sacrifice your villa in Long Beach and to come to Eretz Israel. You have to come to Eretz Israel. This is the place that it's meant to be. Only here Am Israel received their promise. Only here. Only here you can have faith. Only person that lives in Eretz Israel, he's the person that got God with him. And if you're not here, God is not with you. Sounds hard. But Hashem said it, not me. Hashem said it. The Gemara is writing that. More than 2,000 years ago. The one that lives in Eretz Israel, kemi sheyesh lo eloka, he's got God with him. The one that doesn't live in Eretz Israel, domi kemi she'en lo eloka. It's like a person that doesn't have God with him. He's a non-believer. He doesn't believe. He's a kofer in Hashem. It's hard for you. Tough luck. Go talk to Hashem on it. Hashem can change it. Go talk to Him. But for now, that this is the addition that we have from the Gemara, you cannot change the Gemara. This is what it's written. The Torah been given to us that we're going to come and build Beit HaMikdash. How we can build Beit HaMikdash when our brothers are still outside? Can we do something without them? Can you move without your brother? Can you move? We know that when Mashiach going to come, The gate's going to be closed. We're not accepting Baalei Teshuva anymore. So what can we do? Can we accept Mashiach? Can we build Beit HaMikdash? Let's go, let's build Beit HaMikdash. We cannot do that. We're not allowed to do that. How can you do it? If you're going to do it, you decree a horrible decree on all of our millions of brothers that are outside from Eretz Israel. That they don't have the permission to come into Eretz Israel. They can talk, they can think that they have all of the options and everything is open. A golden cage. No one can escape. No one can decide nothing in his life. You don't have free choice. Hashem is going to tell you exactly what you're going to do in your life. You're here in Eretz Israel, you're a refugee. You've been saved. This is it. Now the halacha is saying that if you're here, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Israel. And the same halacha you have in Jerusalem. If you live in Jerusalem, you're not allowed to decide, I'm going to go to live in Bnei Brak. You're not allowed to. Halachically, you're not allowed to. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef said that psak, the son of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. He said, you're not allowed. Like the holiness of Eretz Israel, you're not allowed to go to a lower Kedusha, from the Kedusha of Eretz Israel to a lower Kedusha. You have the same thing on Eretz Israel. If you're Jerusalem, if you live in Jerusalem, you're not allowed to go to a lower Kedusha, to live in Tel Aviv, to live in Bnei Brak. It's nice in Bnei Brak. You have Park HaYarkon in Tel Aviv. Oh, what the fuck? You're not allowed. Halacha is not permitting. You're not allowed. What it means? That Hashem is going to push you forward and forward and forward and forward toward to Him. Until we're going to build Beit HaMikdash. And we're not allowed to stop. And we have to keep on getting closer and closer and closer. And you cannot get closer without your brothers. So you have to put all of your powers to bring your brothers. That they're all going to come to here to live in Eretz Israel. With us. Each and every one of us have that obligation. And the blood of our brothers is hanged above our heads. Each and every one of us. And if you think you can escape from responsibility, Am Israel Arevin Zeh LaZeh. We have a guarantee. We're together. We're obligated to each other. We're not allowed to leave one brother. Can you leave a Jew? You're going to be redeemed with all of your brothers? One person going to stay outside? You're going to leave yourself in the pit? This is who you are? You're going to leave yourself? Alright, let's go back to Yaakov. You forgot your... Where is your brother? Yaakov is asking. Where is your brother? Oh, our father, we're all here. Where is your brother? Who cares about you when you forgot your brother? When you didn't think about your brother, who cares about you at all? Who are you? You're more important than your brother? Are you crazy? You know how amazing is your brother? You know how amazing is your sister? Who are you talking about? It's your brother. It's your sister. Can you make another step without them? This is it. We're stopping. Now we're stopping. We're not moving nowhere. Until we're bringing all of Am Israel to Eretz Israel. This is our mission. This is our job. This is our obligation. Learning to write to know Hashem. When you know Hashem, what it means you know Hashem? You know what Hashem wants. What Hashem wants? What the Father wants? What the Father wants? What the Father wants? Only his sons. He doesn't care about your Torah. He doesn't care about your tshuva. He doesn't care about nothing. Your tshuva is not important. Your Torah is not important. Your tefillah, Hashem doesn't care about your tefillah. It's empty. Empty prayers. Empty tshuvot. Empty Torah. Nothing. You bring nothing. You bring chaff to Hashem Yitbarach. Where is your brother? Where is your sister?